You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we're going to be discussing Mikel Arteta's press conference. He's just been speaking to the media ahead of Arsenal's trip to Dundalk in the UEFA Europa League. The press conference took place from the team's hotel. It was scheduled to start at around 7:15, so around about half an hour ago, so we're pretty hot off the press, to be fair. And I know that Arsenal fans all over the world have been waiting to find out the latest on Thomas Partey. Of course, Partey suffered a thigh problem in the defeat against Aston Villa, subsequently missed the Premier League games against Leeds United and Wolverhampton Wanderers, returned for the North London derby prematurely, to be honest. And the proof is in the pudding because he suffered a recurrence of that thigh problem, and Thomas Partey is now set to miss a period of time for Arsenal. Now, that was kind of the big thing, I think, going into this press conference that everybody wanted to hear about. What is the latest on Thomas Partey? Well, the latest, according to Mikel Arteta, is that they haven't had a full update yet. Sorry to spoil it after all that suspense, but they haven't had a full update yet. But what he did say was that he is going to miss the next few matches. So he said, we haven't got a full update, but we do know that he's going to miss the next few matches. He also said he did incredibly well and was very confident about, you know, his fitness to start the North London derby. Also says he tested him three times. He had zero incidents. And in football, you have a lot of unpredictable actions. Now, look, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Every single one of us prior to the North London derby was very much like, if Thomas Partey's fit, play him. We've got to play him. He's so important to the team. I, like many others, was worried about sort of what might happen off the back of that if we rushed him back too soon. And we did rush him back too soon. We forced him back out of desperation because we needed a result. And the form has been so bad of late, and the pressure on Mikel Arteta is increasing from all angles. He probably felt that even if in his heart of hearts he thought, you know, there was any doubt over Thomas Partey, that actually he didn't really have much choice other than to throw him back into the side. Me personally, I said it before the game, so I'm not sitting here now criticising Mikel Arteta, jumping on the bandwagon, giving him an unnecessary hard time. I said it at the time, unless Thomas Partey was 100% fit, and in my book, you can't be 100% fit until you've got some more minutes under your belt after the injury, or some minutes between sort of coming back and then your start, your first start. I said that and I stick by that. And unfortunately, we paid the price for that. Now, we're expecting a longer update on Thomas Partey soon. We'll probably get that, I reckon. And this is just me guessing, on Friday, because of course, when there is a Europa League game, there doesn't tend to be a press conference on the Friday now ahead of the Premier League game. What we normally get is we normally get an injury update that the club put out. So I'm expecting Arsenal to give us a bit more of an update in that. They kept it very hush-hush about Thomas Partey the first time around, though, didn't they? They were very reluctant to give us any more detail, to give us any more information on what the actual injury was. In the eyes of a lot of us, he was nowhere near ready for the North London derby, and all of a sudden he was fit. So it's a strange one. I'm not sure why Arsenal are so transparent with everybody else, but when it comes to Thomas Partey, they've been keeping things really, really quiet. Is it mind games? Is it Mikel Arteta not wanting to show weakness to potential opponents? I don't know. But we were kept in the dark the first time around, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're kept in the dark this time around as well. We know he's going to miss a few games, though. Of course, we've got that game with Burnley at the weekend, Southampton midweek, and then we've got a trip to Everton followed by the visit of Chelsea. And in between those two games, we've got, of course, that Carabao Cup tie with Manchester City as well. So lots of games coming up in December they're coming really, really thick and fast. So, yeah, you know, if he's not ready, you don't rush him back. It's as simple as that. On the actual injury itself, Thomas Partey has apparently suffered a similar problem this time, but not exactly the same one. That's what I've picked up from some of the quotes that have been doing the rounds following the press conference. As I say, it's only just finished. So we may get a little bit more detail in there. We may be able to siphon out a little bit more when the transcripts come out. But at this moment in time, that is what I know. So yeah, as I said, not going to beat Mikel Arteta with a stick about the fact that Thomas Partey was thrown back in. I think we all agree that if we thought he was ready, that we wanted to see him back in the team, he came back into the team. Unfortunately, he's picked up another knock, and we're going to just have to wait and see now how long it takes for Thomas Partey to return to this Arsenal side. We're going to take a short pause for those of you listening on the audio, and we're going to be back just after this. Don't worry, YouTubers, that doesn't apply to you. We are going to now discuss Mikel Arteta's comments regarding William Saliba. He's been speaking about the Frenchman after, of course, he played for the under-21s in the Papa John's Trophy. Mikel Arteta has been saying that he is performing better. He's showing that that he is improving, and he says that he's showing that he's ready to play for us now. And Arsenal are going to make a decision now on what happens with William Saliba. They're considering sending him out on loan. That's a consideration that Mikel Arteta is going to be dealing with over the coming days, over the coming weeks. Of course, the transfer window opens again in January, so there's still a few weeks for Arsenal to get their plans in order, for Arsenal to think about not just potential incomings, but potential exits. And William Saliba could well be one of those on loan. In other news from that game, of course, Gabriel Martinelli returned to the side. He returned from injury, and the Brazilian has been out since June with that knee problem. But he's back with the youth team ahead of schedule. He only played 45 minutes, from what I understand, but that's absolutely fine. You know, you've got to start somewhere. And it's good to see Gabriel Martinelli back on a football pitch. Now, apart from Mikel Arteta singing William Saliba's praises and talking about how he's improved and how he's shown that he's getting closer to a level, et cetera, that he needs to be to play for Arsenal, he actually did get himself sent off in that Papa John's Trophy game against AFC Wimbledon. By making a really, really silly challenge. Of course, Arsenal lost the game 3-0. Arsenal under 21s. You've got to make that clear. So, yeah, he received a straight red card for a shocking challenge. And according to Football.London, he showed petulance at times throughout the game and ended what was a disappointing evening for the Young Guns. As I've said, beaten 3-0 by AFC Wimbledon on the night. So not a great night all round for Arsenal's youngsters. But the positives: Gabriel Martinelli back on the football pitch. William Saliba, apart from some disciplinary issues, is showing, not based on last night or based on that game in particular, but according to Mikel Arteta, is showing signs that he's getting closer to the level required to play for Arsenal Football Club. And there are plans or there are discussions going on behind the scenes about what is going to happen with William Saliba. Maybe he's going to go out on loan. Maybe he'll be registered with the side in the new year. We're going to have to wait and see on that. But yeah, that's kind of the updates from Arteta's press conference, the major ones anyway. And of course, we'll be bringing you a show tomorrow. So we'll look into those in a little bit more detail ahead of the game. And then, of course, we'll be bringing you some post-match reaction to the game against Dundalk 2. Right, let's see what you guys are saying in the live chat. Big hello to everybody giving me a shout out. Let's see what else you guys are saying. GP says, Partey should not have played. Yeah, I mean, I've said it already. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. I think we can all agree that now, looking back on it, it was too soon for Thomas Partey. But obviously, we all wanted him in the team. And, you know, as Mikel says, if he went through the test, if the medical team gave him the green light, kind of, in a position where you feel as though the due diligence has been done and you can play the player. But obviously, as I've said, in my eyes, it was a mistake. And I said that before the game. So this is not me going back on it and saying that Arteta got it wrong, because it's easy to do that. I genuinely was worried about the player's fitness and genuinely was worried about him coming into a massive derby game like that, where there's going to be a high intensity, where there's going to be challenges flying in. I didn't think that was the right game to bring him back in. But as I said, Arsenal have been in really dire form in the Premier League. Mikel Arteta probably feeling a little bit desperate. And in that instance, if he's been given the green light, why wouldn't you play your £45 million central midfield star? He's head and shoulders above anybody else we have in that position. So you can understand why Mikel was tempted into doing that. Jack Burgess says, even our medical team is useless. Danny Boy says, a broken Partey is better than a fit Xhaka. Bring him on. Saad asks, hey, Harry, what do you think on Arteta's man management skills? The way he threw Partey and Pepe under the bus in his post-match press conferences didn't really sit right with me. I've had a lot of conversations about this, actually, in the last, month or so. It started with the Nicolas Pepe thing. Of course, he got himself sent off at Leeds United for a stupid, stupid act. Let's be honest. That's what it was. It was a stupid act from Nicolas Pepe. And so me personally, I don't take an issue with Mikel saying what he said in the press conference. He said that Pepe let the team down. I'm sure he would have said those same words to Nicolas Pepe behind the scenes. And so for me, it's not really an issue. It wasn't in that instance. And as for the Thomas Partey one, it was strange that Thomas Partey decided that his first action was going to be to run off the side of the pitch and not drop down on the pitch and potentially, tempt Spurs into stopping the play, tempt the referee into stopping the play. I know they don't have to, not the referee, not the opposition players either, but, I just think he would have given them something to think about. There would have been a big uproar, controversy around the goal had he been down on the ground at the time. And I just think that was the wiser thing to do. And given that he worked under Diego Simeone for such a long time, it actually baffles me that he took the option that he did. I think Arteta was right to be shocked by it, to find it strange. I think Arteta's initial comments on the Partey thing were a little bit stronger, but then he very quickly sort of backtracked with that in the press conference. So in the post-match, he said, he didn't say anything terrible, but you got that feeling he was angrier and a little bit more open about it. And then in the press conference, he kind of shut that door, made his response a little bit more streamlined and kind of closed it in the sense of not leaving bits open for interpretation. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really take an issue with that. I feel like for years and years, we've sat and watched previous managers defend the club, defend the players when they'd clearly been in the wrong. And we all used to get frustrated and wound up by that. So to now have a manager that sometimes is a little bit fiery after the game, sometimes does let it rip in terms of saying exactly what he thinks about certain individuals' displays and performances, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, as long as those are the same messages that he's putting across in the dressing room. As long as it's not Mikel Arteta coming out blasting his players in front of the press and then going back in the dressing room and being different. And I don't think that would be the case. I think Mikel struggles to keep a lid on his emotions when we lose. You can see it in his eyes. When Arsenal get beat, Mikel Arteta looks like a man possessed. So I don't really take an issue with that, mate. But I understand why some people have been a little bit taken aback by it. What else have we got here? Ben Dunn says, time for Arteta to go for broke and send out a midfield of Ainsley Maitland-Niles, Elneny and Emile Smith-Rowe. I mean, when you look at the current performance of some of our players, and I know I defend him quite a fair bit, but Granit Xhaka of late has just been dreadful. He's been really, really bad. I put that down partly to him, and I put that down partly to the fact that he's been asked to do a more aggressive pressing job. And we all know that he's not suited to that. We all know that is not Granit Xhaka's game. And so when you see below par performances off the back of that, I think you got to be understanding of it, to be honest. Daniel Da Costa on the board. He says, this board will always be reactive rather than proactive. I assume you're talking about transfer activity and what they might do going into the January window. Patrick says Arteta and his backroom staff are clearly showing their inexperience with some of the decisions we're seeing. Yeah, I think, look, the backroom staff are not inexperienced. Let's get that straight. A couple of them are, but for the most part, they're very experienced people. Mikel Arteta, obviously inexperienced as a manager, but he's been in and around winning sides. I think there's some inexperience coming through on Arteta's side. I'm not sure if I could sit here comfortably and say that it's the backroom staff too, because I don't know enough about what influence they're having on the side to be able to judge that. I mean, we look at every decision and we say it's Mikel Arteta, don't we? He's the manager, but obviously discussions will be happening behind the scenes, conversations will be going on, and so it's difficult to know who is exactly having an impact on what. What else have we got? Jack Burgess says, Arteta is really trying to tell us Saliba isn't better than Mustafi holding Lewis. It's ridiculous. He's actually in the PL squad as well. Big Gunner D says, good evening, Harry. Danny Boy says, how long do you give Arteta? I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't think Mikel Arteta's job is under any threat whatsoever at this current time. I don't think he'll be under any pressure from the club until at least the end of this season. And again, it depends, doesn't it, on what kind of investment goes into the side. You know, I'm sure they know the squad isn't what they want it to be. Arteta knows the squad isn't what he wants it to be. I think if you see significant investment in January, if you see, again, investment in the summer, then next season there will be pressure from the club on Mikel to deliver and you know, make good of that investment. But at this point, I don't think Arteta's job is under any threat whatsoever. Robin says, Harry, are you confident the AFC will go into the market and sign one or two players in January? I'm not confident. I'd like to think they will. I'd like to think that they're going to act on the Dominic Szoboszlai interest. We learned some details about that clause earlier on in the week. If you haven't checked out our show, check out. I think it was on Monday. You'll find it if you scroll back. Szoboszlai is the thumbnail, so you can't miss it. We got some updates on what that release clause entails, how Arsenal would need to go about it. Makes it clear that actually Arsenal would need to get moving in the next couple of weeks or so if they're going to do a deal in January. So I'd like to think they're going to do something like that, but I can't say with any degree of confidence that they will. That's my current view. Jack the Ripper says, Harry, do you think Oba gave permission to his agent to make that post that we lack in creating chances? That way it's Oba's way to send a message without saying it himself. I haven't actually seen that, mate. I've got to be honest. I'll take a quick glance at it now. I don't really have... I mean, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang saying that we don't create chances is not a lie, is it? It's nothing but the truth. To be honest with you, I mean, I'm just looking, I'm trying to work out what post that is. Is it any story? Let me know in the chat. I've seen the one where it says, don't hide every day, question yourself, work, never give up. This is how we do. But I haven't seen one about creating chances. So yeah, let me know on that and I will check it out. Promise. Ibrahim Saeed, says January transfers. For an attacking midfielder are needed. Any realistic suggestions? I keep talking about Dominic Szoboszlai. He is a realistic option because of that release clause. 25 million euros is a fee that is affordable. I think we did learn the other day, as I said, that release clause must be paid all in one go. So Arsenal won't be able to do any structured deals on that. Be interesting to see if there are any exits in January, though. We know there are a number of players closing in on the end of their contracts. Sokratis, Mustafi being a couple of those whose deals are set to expire at the end of this season. Will any of them get a move between now and then, or will just clubs just wait to take them on a free? Now, you've also got to take into account that the global pandemic that we've had to deal with and the impact that that's had on a lot of clubs all over the world, not just here in the UK. So, we'll have to see what the kind of the market's like. The January market is very different to the summer market. Always is, always has been, always will be, in my opinion. It feels like it's an opportunity to buy if you're struggling, if you're desperately in need of something. But it's not a window that managers traditionally eye up and say, that's when I'm going to do my significant business. So on that basis, I think it's one of those windows where you've got to be a bit of an opportunist. If something comes along, if something becomes a possibility and you think that it's right, you do it. But as I said, I don't envisage Arsenal going into that window with major, major plans. And what I mean by major plans is a massive signing in terms of the financial outlay or multiple signings. That's just my view, though. Don't know that as fact, so don't quote me on that. That's just kind of my gut feeling at the moment. Ray Anderson says, Harry, evening. The question was, how long do you give Arteta? I want to hear your views too. My view personally is that you can't consider sacking Mikel Arteta until the end of the season. Look, unless things go desperately wrong, and by that I mean Arsenal find themselves embroiled in a relegation scrap, then you can't get rid of him. It would be starting all over again. You know, this is people talk about it being a project, being a process. That is what it is. It is, you know, I know people use that as a buzzword and something to kind of pick on and make fun of. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at a squad with so many bad players in it, to overhaul that squad and replace all of those players is not something you can do overnight. It's not something you can do in a year. You know, Mikel Arteta is closing in on a year as Arsenal boss. But you've also got to remember that there was 3 months in the middle of that where we were in complete shutdown. There was no football. The players and Arteta had no time on the training ground. So actually, when you discuss Mikel's tenure so far and you talk about how long he's had and where we should be in terms of our progression in that time, you've got to take that into account. And I think a lot of people forget that. And a lot of people seem to write that off when actually it's probably had a massive impact. What else have we got here? Big hello to Russ Morgan and all the other guys in the chat. What else have we got here? I see a couple of you asking about Jack Wilshere. Would you sign Wilshere on a pay as he plays contract? No, I wouldn't. I've addressed this before. We've discussed it on a previous show. I loved Jack Wilshere when he was at Arsenal. I thought he was a fantastic player. But obviously injuries were always a problem for Jack. Fitness was always an issue for Jack. It was frustrating to watch because you're looking at somebody who has all the talent, all the ability, all the technical ability, the footballing brain, so many good qualities. But at the same time, part of being a great footballer, part of being a great player is being able to stay fit, is being able to manage your body, is being able to deal with the physicality that the modern game brings. And Jack Wilshere simply couldn't do that. And it's not just been during his time at Arsenal. You know, he's gone to West Ham and he'll say he was fit. For the most part, David Moyes would tell you something different. So where do you kind of lean on that? Who do you believe? You know, would you look at is David Moyes somebody who, if he thought Jack Wilshere was fit enough and physical enough to give something to his team, he would have just overlooked him? I don't know. I can't really come to a conclusion on that. But what I will say is categorically, I don't want to see Arsenal sign Jack Wilshere. You know, we're talking about bringing in players as if it's a retirement home. And I don't want us to add more players like that, draining on our wage bill. Not interested. Love the guy. Love him for what he did for Arsenal. Love him for some of the great performances. Performances actually that I'll never forget in particular. I know everyone bangs on about it, but that one against Barcelona. But not for me. You don't go back to an ex, put it that way. Right. Just one final point that I want to address. Actually, before I do that, let me just answer this from Tommy. It says, Harry, my daughter Megan is watching with me. Would you say hi to her? She's very excited beside me. Hey dear Megan, hope you're well, and take care of Daddy O'Donoghue. Cheers, mate. Thank you. The final thing I wanted to address was some of the reports doing the rounds this evening about Willian. I don't know if you've seen this. It isn't something that's gone really big yet. Maybe we will We will hear about it a little bit more in the coming days. But according to some reports coming out of Spain, Real Betis are considering signing Willian as a replacement for Joaquin. I mean, nobody's been happy with Willian's performances to date. You know, we saw a good display in the game against Fulham on the opening day. I thought it was pretty good in the game against Man United at Old Trafford as well. But other than that, he's been poor. I don't think anybody can deny that. So, look, if someone is interested and they're willing to put a fee down, and we can get, in terms of recuperating the contract money, let him go. Willian is not the future. Willian was a stopgap. Willian was somebody who was supposed to come in and provide experienced cover to our front line. That is how I saw that signing. If you remember, and if you think back to the podcast I did when that signing happened, that's exactly what I said. I wanted him to come in because we were lacking that experienced cover. That was it, though, cover. Not a first team. I didn't want to see Willian play every single week. And that is the case at the moment. Willian is playing every single week. Now, on the one hand, you could say that says a lot about the performances of some of the others. You know, let's be honest, Nicolas Pepe hasn't always delivered. You know, Aubameyang has had games where he's disappeared. Lacazette hasn't always performed. And Nketiah hasn't always performed. So I understand maybe why he's getting more game time than I thought, but he's had way too much game time, in my opinion, up until this point. And I don't understand why. I don't understand what it is about him that Mikel Arteta seems to adore. And also when he broke the rules, when he went off to Dubai, I just, you know, that didn't sit right with me. And why it didn't sit right is not necessarily because of Willian, but because of the fact that Mikel's been this kind of disciplinarian with others. He's dealt with other situations in a much stricter fashion, in a much stricter way. Yet with Willian, he was willing to let him have a bit of a free pass. That's what didn't sit right with me about that whole thing. But yeah, just reports from Spain. Don't think there's any legs in them, but I thought it worth mentioning in case you haven't seen it. I think we're stuck with him. Yeah, is what it is. Right, just before I go, let me know in the live chat where you are joining us from. Haven't done that in a while. Love hearing where you guys are joining us from. Always interested to know. I haven't said it yet. Can you believe it? I haven't said it since the start of the video. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that like button. Let me see how many we've got so far. I can see there's over 230 of you watching across the various channel platforms. That includes Facebook, Twitch now, YouTube, Twitter, all the usual places. So get hitting that like button. Oh, look, there's over 250 of you now across all the different platforms, but we've only got 31 likes. So make sure you smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you are new. Subscribe to 90 Min as well. Right, let's see where you guys are joining us from. I love doing this. It's such great fun. William joins us from Montreal, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Tel Aviv, Virginia, Jamaica, Sweden, Johannesburg, Vancouver, India, Western Sydney. Wow. USA, keep them coming. We've got people joining us from all over the world. It's incredible. Pakistan, Sweden. Fantastic stuff. Los Angeles, California. Lots and lots of people watching from all over the world. It's fantastic. Love seeing that. Ghana as well. Big hello to Bacco Ambrose. Right. That brings me to the end of today's stream. As I said, don't forget to like the stream. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Leave your comments down below. Just a few more shout outs quickly before I go. New Jersey, Minnesota, Edinburgh, Germany, Dublin, Kenya. Brilliant. Great to see people tuned in from all over the world at the moment. Thank you all so much for your continued support. We're going to be back very, very soon. And we'll be back tomorrow pre the Dundalk game, and we'll be back tomorrow after the Dundalk game as well. So two shows coming your way tomorrow. Turn on the notifications if you haven't already. That way you'll never miss a show. And if you prefer, you can also listen to this via the audio platforms that include Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Acast. The show is available in all those places. So do check it out if you prefer to listen whilst on the go. Right. Thank you all so much. I'll be back very, very soon. Until then, take care. Ciao.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.